Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today. Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone today is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. Don, how are you doing today?
Doing well. We're staying warm, I hope, and please stay safe out there, everybody.
Definitely a good message right now, as it's quite chilly out. But there's a few topics I was hoping to chat with you about, Don. And obviously, we Wood Buffalo Council had their meeting on Tuesday. Usually, we have our interviews on Wednesday. That was pushed to today due to Remembrance Day. But maybe just to start off with, talk a little bit more about the local EMS dispatch site. And I know that's a big topic we've had on the show about all the pros and cons about moving to Alberta Health Services system, but Councillor Mike Allen brought forward a motion that was approved to allocate funds in our 2021 budget. Now, this hasn't still been approved. It still has to be approved for the budget process, but we're allocating funds for this. Maybe just to start off with your thoughts on this. I know this is something that you find very important, but did you ever see that maybe paying for it was, the last step?
Yeah, that would be what I consider the last step. If AHS is putting us in a position, if the provincial government is putting us in a position where we have to pay to save people's lives, then we're willing to do it. I think that's a signal from this council that we're willing to save people's lives. And just to remind everybody, 90% of the time, the system we have now is faster than the Alberta health system. That's the provincial system they're trying to force us into. So it should be really clear. I think we've advocated our position really hard. We went to Minister Shandro. He rejected our position. We've advocated to the Premier. He hasn't really responded. And now they're obviously busy with a lot of other things, and I appreciate that. But this is a matter of life and death to this region, so we're going to make sure that we do all we can. So we've allocated the money. It's approximately $660,000. And we do believe it's going to make a difference in people's lives. So if we need to pay for it, then we're certainly willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Jeff Peddle brought up, an interesting word to talk about it. And he called it, quote, disgusting that the municipality has to cover these costs, as he says, to ensure the safety of the residents. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was reflecting as he was talking that it's such an odd position to be in where we're fighting for an essential service like this in Alberta. You would think that an essential service like EMS dispatch and having the best EMS dispatch, which is what we have, would be something so clearly obvious to support. This same issue has come around four previous times with four previous health ministers and has been rejected by four previous health ministers. And now the current health minister, Tyler Shandro, has agreed to let it go through. And that, it's going to affect every resident in this region, whoever has a health emergency. So we want to make sure that everybody understands we're strongly opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. I know it's been a couple days since the meeting, but have you guys had a chance to talk to Alberta Health Services in the province about your plans to cover the costs?
Yeah, our conduit to the province has really been our MLAs, and I spoke to MLA Taniyao. He's been a real advocate, and he understands our healthcare system quite well in this region, exactly what we're talking about, because he was part of it before. So he's taking up our cause to fight for that, and he understands exactly what we did, and we'll see where that takes us.
Is there a scenario here where the province could, override this decision and say, no, you're going to be coming into our system?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what they've been doing, unfortunately, so far to date. But we've signaled that we're willing to pay for it. If it's about the money, then we're certain. For us, it's about patient health care. And if it's about the money for them, then we're willing to pay for it to make sure that our residents get the best service. But, you know, it's absolutely critical that we maintain the current system from my perspective.
And I know this is just a guessing game, but do you see the province stepping in and saying no? Or do you think that if, like, now that you guys are willing to pay the cost, that they'll just let you guys have your own system?
Oh, it's really hard to say. You know, I've been predicting not very accurately in this because, as I said, four previous health ministers have not gone in this direction. And we have been fighting vigorously. There's been three other mayors fighting for this as well. But I think our situation is so unique. We are the size, we're bigger than Nova Scotia in this region. We have so many unique issues up here. We have industry support. We have indigenous support for exactly the path that we're taking. So we hope so. It's the right decision.
All right. Well, we're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we are talking about the local EMS dispatch site and council's plans to allocate funds in the 2021 budget to cover the costs. If you're looking for more information about this, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And Mayor Scott, we heard two motions from Councillor Verna Murphy that were approved on Tuesday. So let's start off with the one that I feel like most people in the community are talking about, and that is having backyard hens. And this includes having, I believe, between 2 to 4 hens for a pilot project, no roosters involved. It seems quite interesting. And I know that you actually voted against the project. I guess, why so?
Yeah, no, this is just me personally. I always go with the decision of council that this just isn't the right time for this kind of thing to be debated or dealt with. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We've just recovered from a flood. We're in the middle of an economic downturn, and this is the last thing on the planet I think we should be focused on. But it's important to a lot of people, and council did support it. So once council supports an action or a decision, then I'm behind it. So we are going to have – now, this pilot project is not in place yet. I just need to remind everybody about that. Sometimes they think of this – the first decision puts it in place, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's this decision means that administration is going to do the work and come back and bring a bylaw that's going to be debated. So there can be a lot of things inserted into the bylaw that might make it more palatable to people or might make it more unacceptable. Depends. So it's really the bylaw that's going to be the critical aspect. Now, we don't have a timeline on the bylaw. We think it's going to be in the next several months. But it'll be coming back before council. It was already being worked on, and that was because of a decision that Tyron Ault had made when he was a councillor here some time ago.
Okay. And from what I heard on Tuesday, like you mentioned, it could change with the wording in the bylaw. And one of the big concerns that we heard from a few residents was about noise. And hens themselves aren't that noisy, but it is the rooster that is quite noisy. As of right now, like I said, it could change if the bylaw. This project wouldn't include roosters. Is that correct?
Well, we haven't seen the final bylaws, but that's what administration signaled, is that it would not include roosters. And I have several concerns. I think predators are a concern, waste are a concern, noise is obviously a concern. Neighbors, I want to make sure that neighbors are looked after. So one of the things that I'm likely to do is to bring a motion at the next opportunity when we have this debated, is that all the neighbors would need to give some sort of consent or be made aware that this is happening in their area. Just in case any of these issues arise. So it's something that will be debated, and debated vigorously, I suppose, just given what happened the other night. So we'll see where it all goes, but it's a discussion that we've had. It's not one that I would have preferred personally, but now the council's done it, that's democracy. We made a decision, we gotta go with it, and we'll see where it all takes us. It's not the first decision I've lost, it's not going to be the last. So that's democracy, and we'll keep on working.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of democracy, let's move over to the other motion that Councillor Murphy brought forward, and that is in regards to online and telephone voting, as you guys will be sending a letter to the provincial government, just kind of lobbying to include online and telephone voting for the, I guess, future elections. And what we're seeing with everything that's happening if the U.S. election, maybe just your thoughts in your opinion, is this something that you think is a good idea to include in future elections?
Yeah, I think anybody who was listening to the debate would have known that I wasn't going to support it as it was initially proposed. But then we made a few amendments that made it more acceptable. I suspect that from what I understood in the debate, there were a few others that came on board because of those amendments as well. But so one of the critical amendments to me was that as long as and this was added into the motion itself, as long as election integrity can be maintained and that it was secure. So those issues were absolutely critical to me. I don't think we can just do telephone voting to have telephone voting, and I don't think we can have online voting just to have online voting. Mm-hmm. If these things aren't safe and secure and it doesn't maintain election integrity, then we should not have them. I think Councillor Murphy brought up some good points about it being done in other provinces, and if it can be done in other provinces, why can't it be done here? But it's a government of Alberta decision. It's not ours. So anything that increases participation is good, so I think that's a positive direction. We've historically had very low voter participation in this region for reasons that I've never understood, because if there's any place that should be voting in large numbers, it should be this region, because everything that we are deciding, and this term has been a great example, is shaping the future of every person in this region. So you please get out and vote in the next election, which is in October, by the way, of this coming year that's coming up. And by the way, if you're interested in running, then get involved. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Come see an existing councillor and learn how you can run. You can run for mayor. You can run for council. You can run for any position. And I'm always happy to give you guidance and advice on that. But some places, in any event, are adding telephone and online voting from what Councillor Murphy described. You know, we just need to get more turnout, I think, is the aim, and we need to keep people safe because of the pandemic. I think those are the two aims that would be achieved by this. I believe that was passed unanimously, so it had good support in the end. So it's and if the GOA, if the government of Alberta decides to do it, great. If they don't, then so be it. I think Councillor Allen brought up the point that there may not be enough time for them to initiate this in time for the next election, which is likely true, just having been there as an MLA before. But it'll be there potentially, as Councillor Murphy said, for the future, beyond the next election. And that might be a good thing, as long as they're safe and secure and election integrity is maintained. We don't want a gong show like we're seeing in the States. We want things to be secure. So that's my view on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, just bringing up one little point you brought up, and that our municipal election is less than a year away. Correct me if I'm wrong, but people can officially, you know, nominate themselves or sign up starting on January 1st. Is that correct?
That is correct. And as I say, one thing I'd suggest to anybody who's considering running, a lot of people come to me and saying they're thinking about it. Take the step. Try it. Go talk to an existing counselor right now and learn about what the process is like. The one thing I would advise people is it's a lot more time than you would think. There's literally hundreds of emails, there's a lot of meetings, and obviously you can go through a situation like we've had this term with multiple states of emergency and a lot of other issues going on. So you've got to be very committed to it. And the one thing I would say above all else is you've got to have a commitment to this region, a love of this region. If you don't love this region, please do not run. It's pointless, because it'll show. You've got to be dedicated to this region and want this region to be successful. Every councillor who's on right now, I believe, has that with great passion. So not everybody agrees with all decisions that are made, but I know that they all care about this region deeply.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And Mayor Scott, you guys had your meeting on Tuesday, and it was mentioned slightly, I believe, during a strategic update. But a project I kind of just totally forgot about, but the East Clearwater Highway seems like it's been on the back burners with everything that the region, the province, and the whole world is dealing with right now. But from what I heard from the CAO, Jamie Doyle, is you guys are expecting an update from the province in the near future. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's going to be some sort of an update that's going to be given to us, and we anticipate that. We've been looking for it for quite a while. Obviously, there's been a lot going on with the province. One of the challenges with the East Clearwater Highway, just to remind everybody, is it's a $2 billion project. So it's very expensive. And I think the likelihood of it proceeding is diminishing as we see the provincial debt rise right now. But we're still going to fight for everything we can. We need a secondary route, and the fire really demonstrated that. We need another route, ideally, and it would give us access to secondary areas that we don't have access to, like right now, like CNRL and other areas that cross the river. So we recognize the GOA has other important priorities, and we're always going to advocate for the secondary access route. There's been a lot of different routes discussed over the years. If this route doesn't make sense, then hopefully another one will. But we need to get something in place. I've always believed in the East Clearwater Highway, and I think it's a lot of residents here who have looked into it believe in it as well. But we need to figure it out, hopefully get something done. The last election that was discussed as not being a priority, I think, for the current government. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. And we're going to keep fighting for things. Just because they don't agree with us right now doesn't mean we keep asking for it. And then there's going to be election in a year. The next mayor and council is going to have a discussion about the direction as well. So we'll see where it all goes.
Well, you mentioned there that it looks less likely that this project would be, you know, approved at this time. Is it safe to say, in your opinion, that this pandemic we're dealing with and the downturn in the economy might be the reasons why this project might not go through?
Yeah, I would think that that's a contributing factor. But at the same time, you know, a project like this, imagine the economic spinoff and the number of jobs that would be created. And a lot of times to get out of an economic downturn, that's what governments do. They create a lot of jobs through projects like this. And, you know, that might be an idea. I know that certainly the federal government, if anybody should be paying for it and looking at doing it, it should be the federal government. They've sucked enough money out of this region over the years that if anybody should be investing $2 billion here, and it's about time, would be the federal government, with a contribution by the province and maybe even a contribution by the municipality. But we have sent so much money out of this region for so many years through the oil sands and all the good work that happens up here. And then everybody forgets about us. As soon as there's an economic downturn, everybody looks the other way. We're the region that needs support right now. If the oil industry is struggling, so is the rest of Canada. So they should be injecting more money here than they would anywhere else, I would think, but I'm not seeing that right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mayor Scott, before I let you go, one last topic hoping to chat about is COVID-19. And we're seeing the cases rise at a level we haven't seen in the region yet. I believe as of Tuesday, there wasn't a local update yesterday. There's 113 active cases in town, 3 in the rural area, so 116 across the region. If the numbers continue to rise, and I know we've been hearing talks that the province is looking into more, you know, restrictions and measures, is there a possibility that there could be more local measures coming in if the numbers continue to increase?
Yeah, I would just encourage everybody to follow the guidelines. I'm expecting the province to come out with some new mandates either today or tomorrow. No, those aren't municipal mandates. Those are the province. And that's just given our numbers provincially. So, you know, the sooner we can kickstart the economy and get everybody back working and all the stores and restaurants back open, the better. But right now, I'm concerned that we're going in the opposite direction, given the high numbers. So, you know, the province is going to make their decision, and we'll see where that goes. But please, I would just, you know, ask everyone out there to comply with the recommendations.
So is it still possible that down the road, if the numbers, you know, continue to rise, even with these proposed potential provincial restrictions, that, you know, you guys might consider other local ones?
I think we always could, but I'm not seeing that happening right now. I think we're going to see where the province goes. They're the ones with jurisdiction over this. They're the ones with, you know, a lot of medical advice behind them. I'm expecting the province to drive this.
Well, Mayor Scott, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, but we always appreciate it when you spare a couple of minutes of your time to come on the show.
Yeah, take care, everybody, and stay safe out there, please.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.